وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ألا إلى الله تصير الأمور.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah and may Allah's peace and blessings be on the last Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and on all those who follow the path of righteousness until the last day. We'd like to welcome you back, dear viewers, to our series In the Names of Allah. In this series, we're looking into Allah's names in order to be able to apply them in our lives. For the benefit that lies in knowing those names, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had told us that one who learns 99 of Allah's names would be guaranteed paradise, if they guard them, if they know them, if they understand them, if they worship Allah with them, then this is the promise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It might seem very simple. Allah has 99 names. You learn them, you've got paradise. It seems very simple. However, as the scholars have explained, it's not merely just memorizing these 99 names, but it is to understand them, to understand their relevance to Allah. How do we understand Allah? How do we worship Allah through them? Allah revealed them so that we would better know Him to be able to worship Him better. So it is not so easy. It requires a great effort on our part to understand these names and to give Allah His right through His names. Then to understand their impact on our faith. How should our faith be affected by it? And then ultimately, how can we reflect those names if there is an element that is valid for our reflection? So that's an important point to keep in mind. In the previous name that we looked at, Al-Jabbar, there is no element in it for us to reflect. In fact, we are to avoid it. Whereas in the case of Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, then that's what's required of us. As the Prophet ﷺ had said, Man la yarham, la yurham, whoever doesn't show mercy will not receive mercy. So that's very clear. This name, Al-Kabir and Al-Mutakabbir, which is the 13th and the 14th names of Allah, Al-Kabir, the great, Al-Mutakabbir, the proud, these names are names which describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and some of His characteristics, and they are among the names also that we don't try to emulate. We will look at it in more detail to see why. But anyway, in terms of their mention in the Quran, the name Al-Kabir is mentioned 6 times in the Quran. Among them, what we find in Surah Ar-Ra'd, verse 9, Alimul Ghaybi wa Shahada Al-Kabirul Muta'al, Knower of the Unseen and the Seen, the Great, the High Exalted. In the case of the name Al-Mutakabbir, that is mentioned only once in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hashr, verse 23. Al-Muhaiminul Azizul Jabbarul Mutakabbir, the Guardian, the Mighty, the Compeller, the Proud. Both of these names come from the root kibr. And kibr, it means to become great on one hand, And on the other hand, it means to have pride. With regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Kabir means one greater than everything. The one who is greater than everything. That's why we use, you know, Allahu Akbar. That is the expression of his name, Al-Kabir. One who is above the characteristics of his creatures. So this being greater is not necessarily or shouldn't be perceived as something in terms of size. Because size, of course, is limited to the creation. And we know already Allah's throne is the greatest part of creation, far bigger than anything in the creation itself. And Allah is beyond all of that. But anyway, the point was said that his characteristics, Allah's characteristics, are over and above those of his creatures. He's greater in all those respects. And as such, there is nothing similar to him. The name Al-Mutakabbir, on the other hand, with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it represents one greater than everything evil, one too proud to oppress his servants, and one proud of his dominion, rightly and rightly so. One too proud, his pride, it removes him from any type of circumstance where he would oppress. It's the opposite for people. If they take on this attitude of pride, then it becomes a means of oppression. Well, relative to Allah, it's a means of expressing the perfection of his justice, his fairness, his treating the creation with or in the best manner. Then it is a expression of pride over his dominion. And he has that right to be proud, that all of the dominion belongs to him, because he created it all. For a human being to be proud, he's being proud about something which, for the most part, he didn't create. He has nothing in this world which he can say truly he created from nothing. Now, in terms of the divine name's effect on the believer, on his or her faith, first and foremost, understanding that Allah is Al-Kabir, greater than anything, helps the believer to realize why it isn't possible for him or her to know Allah's essence. To know Allah's essence, meaning to ask the questions about how it is with Allah. Human knowledge cannot encompass Allah. As Allah stated very clearly in Surah Taha, verse 11, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. Knowledge cannot encompass him. So his being Al-Kabir emphasizes or affirms this quality of being beyond the comprehension of his creatures. So, for the believer, he or she stops with regards to questions about Allah. They don't get into the unanswerables. They follow the guidance of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he said in an authentic hadith, تَفَكَّرُوا فِي آلَاءِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُفَكِّرُوا فِي اللَّهِ. Reflect on the signs or the verses of Allah and do not reflect on Allah. Reflect on the signs or the verses, either the signs in Allah's creation, آلَاءِ اللَّهِ, in Allah's creation, the planets, the great wonders that exist within the universe, or reflect on the verses of the Quran, because you can't hardly find a verse in the Quran which doesn't describe Allah in one way or another. So that's where we should be. And of course, we can go to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to further have clarity about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the descriptions that have been given to us. not through our speculations as to Allah's essence. What we're saying here is that when we find a text from the Sunnah or from the Quran where Allah tells us something about this world, we should understand what the goal of that statement is. Not to go necessarily into the fine details of the statement itself. For example, there's a well-known hadith which is found in Sahih Muslim, in which the Prophet ﷺ had said, when half or two-thirds of the night passes, Allah, most blessed and transcendent, descends to the sky of this world. And he says, is there any petitioner to be given his petition? Is there anyone supplicating to be answered? Is there anyone seeking forgiveness to be forgiven? That continues until the dawn breaks. Now, this hadith, for example, is telling us or encouraging us to get up for the night prayer, to wake up in our middle of the night after the halfway point or in the last third of the night and to turn to Allah in prayer. This is the prayer which the Prophet ﷺ labeled like the best of prayers after the obligatory prayers. It's the best of prayers to get up from our sleep because it's a prayer which is free from riya. Nobody's seeing us. Only Allah knows. So it is one wherein we are going to be close to Allah. So Allah has informed us that at that time of the night, He descends to the lowest heaven. Now, we accept what the Prophet ﷺ has said, and we take what is the goal from it and apply it in our lives, that we get up in the night and pray to Allah. We don't go into the issue of, well, if Allah descends in the last third of the night here, when the night ends, it will be the last third of the night in the next part of the earth. And when that ends, it will be the last third of the night in the next part of the earth. And so on and so forth. So actually, it is the last third of the night somewhere on the earth, 24 hours a day. So what does that mean? How does Allah get back up again? How is He down and above His throne at the same time? We don't go there. That wasn't the intent of the hadith. We're going to take a break here, dear viewers, and we'll come back after the break to follow up on this point, this idea, which is an important idea that we should grasp and understand when we read the Quran, when we read the Sunnah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
When you are weak and the road seems long, remember, just remember, seek strength from the strong.
Remember, Inside Huda is a program specially designed for you, the viewers. A program in which I'll be taking you behind the scenes to see the making of episodes, to meet the presenters, the preparers, and all those who are in charge of keeping Huda TV the best Islamic channel. Today's show is all about one special program from a very special presenter, Inspirations.
When you are weak and the road seems long, remember, just remember, seek strength from the strong.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. We'd like to welcome you back, dear viewers, to our series, In the Names of Allah. Prior to the break, we were looking at an issue which had to do with the names and the attributes of Allah as they have been related to us in the Quran and in the Sunnah. We said that this particular name, Al-Kabir, which emphasizes or affirms that Allah is greater than anything we can imagine, that we don't try to get into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we restrict ourselves to what information is relayed to us, and we apply it according to the goals, the obvious goals that are behind those bits and pieces of information which is revealed. The example that we were looking at had to do with the statement of the Prophet ﷺ that in the last third of the night, Allah descends to the first heaven. And he asks if there is anyone seeking prayers to be answered, that so that he could answer them. Is there anyone who is seeking forgiveness so that he could be forgiven, etc.? So the statement, we said, was advising us, the goal of it was to encourage us to get up and pray at night. It isn't for us to go in to try to figure out how it is that Allah descends to the lowest heaven while still being above His throne. We're not to go there, because the desire to want to explain that is based on us conceiving of Allah like His creatures, like His creation. Meaning, if you're standing on top of the house and you go down to the first floor, you're no longer on top of the house. So you're thinking of Allah in that same way, and you want to try to understand how is He still above His throne when He went down to the first heaven. So we don't want to go there. That is just confusion. And it involves us lowering Allah to the level of His creation so we can understand Him. Similarly, for example, the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ had said that for the people in paradise, they will see Allah the way that people see the full moon. That nobody will have to stretch their necks, their heads, because people are in front of them are taller or whatever. They just look up and they'll be able to see Allah. Some people took this hadith and said, this hadith couldn't be acceptable, can't be acceptable, because it's saying that Allah is like a moon. Because it said, like the way people are able to see the full moon without having to stretch their necks, and then we'll be able to see Allah. So they're focusing on, well, it's saying that Allah is like a moon. No, this is not what the hadith is saying. The hadith is only talking about the issue that everybody will be able to see Allah, who is in paradise. So that's what we focus on. Similarly, we find people getting caught up in the issue of Allah's qadr and our free will. People ask, how can we have free will if Allah has already written down what we're going to do? Can we do other than what Allah wrote? Well, no, we can't. So then where is our free will? So this is a point of confusion for people, which leads some of them to actually claim that Allah really doesn't know the future, because that's the only way they can put these two things together. That Allah really doesn't know maybe the details of the future. They say He knows the general future, but not the details. People have fallen into this. Very famous philosophers have fallen into it. But we don't need to go there. What we know is we have free will. That's affirmed in the Quran, and we affirm it from our own human experience. What we also know is that Allah knows everything. His knowledge of everything includes the past, the present, and the future, because He is not bound by time. So He knows everything in perfect detail. And He recorded it. So we don't have to worry about how those two things go together. What we know is that His knowledge is complete. And what we also know is that we have a free will. And that's what we go with. So knowledge of Allah being Al-Kabir, greater than anything that we can imagine, beyond our comprehension, this should give us a sense of comfort in dealing with the various statements that are made from the Quran and the Sunnah with regards to Allah, that we don't try to go into the details about Allah. And in fact, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had said in a well-known hadith, which is found in Sahih Muslim and Sahih al-Bukhari, Satan will come to every one of you and ask, who created this? Who created that? Until he questions, who created your Lord? When he comes to that, you should seek refuge in Allah, say, I affirm my faith in Allah and his prophets, and avoid such thoughts. That is from a satanic source, satanic, to try for you to go and try to figure out who created Allah. Because your logic is telling you that everything else is created, then where did Allah come from? There should be something before Allah that brought Allah into existence. But we don't need to go there. Allah, we know, has no beginning and no end. So once we understand that he has no beginning, then to ask the question, who created Allah, becomes nonsensical. It has no relevance. Completely irrelevant. The name Al-Mutakabbir, as we said, like Al-Jabbar, is not suitable for human beings. Human beings shouldn't take this name and what it implies. It is suitable for Allah. Allah, who is too proud to oppress his creatures. His pride over his dominion is legitimate because it is his. In the case of human beings, knowing that this is a characteristic unique to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone should create in them a desire to want to avoid its implications for themselves. Therefore, they should display the opposite characteristics, that of humility, subservience, fear, etc., as opposed to pride, etc. So, the believer is wary of this characteristic, as Allah said in Surah Az-Zumar, verse 60, أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمْ مَثْوًا لِلْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. Is there not in hell an abode for the arrogant? So, this is a warning from Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ had said, on the day of judgment, Allah most great and glorious will fold up the heavens and take them in his right hand and say, I am the king. Where are the tyrants and the arrogant? And he will fold up the earth in his left hand and say, I am the king. Where are the tyrants and the arrogant? So all of this is pointing to the fact that these are evil characteristics which we should avoid. And pride in particular, pride has such evil consequences that it has thrown or caused a number of people of the past and the present and will in the future cause them to be thrown into hell. We can start with the uncle of the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, on his deathbed, Abu Talib, who knew the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who knew he was a prophet and a messenger of Allah, and knew him for his character, knew him for having raised him in his own house. But on his deathbed, when he was called to believe, and his own brothers were around him, telling him, are you going to disgrace the tribe? Are you going to dishonor our forefathers, etc., etc.? He went with pride in his ancestry and his forefathers and died in a state of disbelief, which then guaranteed an abode in hell forever for him. Similarly, Ibn Jud'an, who was known for his extreme generosity, Aisha radiallahu anha had asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what about him? All the good that he has done, will that benefit him and get him into paradise? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, no, that good would not do any, would not be of any benefit for him, because he never once turned to Allah and asked Allah, oh, forgive me, source of forgiveness. He never turned to Allah, never recognized any errors on his own part. Too proud. He was proud of what he was able to do for his people, to give and to provide. Everybody honored him. Everybody praised him for his generosity. But the pride that he took in being generous killed his faith. So there was no benefit for him in the next life. And the Prophet ﷺ had said, as a clear indicator, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ مِنْ كِبْرٍ. Whoever has an atom's weight of pride in his heart will not enter paradise. So after that, then what? We know it is not suitable for a Muslim to take on this characteristic. So we as Muslims, when reflecting on Allah being the Kabir, Al-Kabir, and Al-Mutakabbir, this should give us encouragement to avoid this characteristic and to avoid those who display it, and to not allow this characteristic to block the paths to knowledge for us, because this is a very dangerous characteristic for those who seek knowledge. And the Prophet ﷺ had made the seeking of knowledge compulsory for everyone. But one who doesn't, who has in his heart this pride, will not be able to learn. He will feel himself better, he knows more, he has too much knowledge, so he'll not be able to learn from the teachers who were there. If Prophet Moses was able to learn from Khidr, Imam Shafi'i, his student Al-Humaydi, had said that he accompanied Imam Shafi'i from Mecca to Egypt, and he benefited from him in legal issues, and Imam Shafi'i benefited hadith from him. This was Imam Shafi'i. So this characteristic is not appropriate for a student of knowledge, one who is out seeking knowledge. Humility is the more appropriate characteristic for humans in general, whether in seeking knowledge or otherwise. With that, dear viewers, we'd like to thank you for being with us with another in another segment of our series, In the Names of Allah. And we hope that you will continue to follow the program as it is unveiled throughout the year. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
When you are weak and the road seems long, remember, just remember, seek strength.